AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Police in Georgia have arrested a suspect wanted for killing one woman and wounding four others in a medical office waiting room in Atlanta. Cobb County Police Chief Stuart Van Hooser describes the arrest.
I believe, if I have my facts correct, that an undercover officer was the one that originally saw and confronted this individual and was able to then have backup from uniform officers that came in and took him into custody without incident.
The suspect is identified as 24-year-old Dion Patterson. Georgia Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock is outraged over this latest shooting.
There have been so many mass shootings, in fact, about one every day in this country this year, that tragically we act as if this is routine.
Senator Warnock on the floor of the U.S. Senate. In Belgrade, Serbia, a 13-year-old boy opened fire, killing eight fellow students and a guard.
There doesn't seem to be any clear understanding of a motivation. There doesn't seem to be any clear understanding as to why he would plan such a horrific and heinous attack on his classmates.
CBS's MTS Taib reports the suspect drew sketches of classrooms and wrote a list of children he planned to kill. The Federal Reserve wrapped up its two-day meeting by raising a key interest rate by a quarter of a percentage point. CBS's Nancy Cordes reports this latest hike comes amid growing concerns about the economy.
Now, some economists are warning that raising rates again could push the U.S. economy into a recession. In a letter to the Fed chair this week, 10 congressional Democrats, led by Senator Elizabeth Warren, urged him to change course. The current strategy, they warned, has the potential to throw millions of Americans out of work.
Bud Light is struggling to lure back customers amid the backlash after hiring a transgender influencer, Dylan Mulvaney, to promote its product.
The Wall Street Journal says Anheuser-Busch is boosting marketing spending on a slate of new Bud Light ads and offering distributors free beer. Mulvaney's April 1st Instagram video sparked a boycott that sent sales south.
I got some Bud Lights for us.
More than two weeks later, retail sales had fallen more than 21%. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Bracing for a possible teacher strike Thursday in Oakland, California, KCAL TV reporter Katie Nielsen has more.
Oakland teachers are currently in negotiations with the district. They're asking for limits on class sizes, additional counselors and support staff, but the most contentious issue is pay. Teachers are asking for a 23% pay increase across the board, while the district is countering with increases from 13 to 22% depending on tenure.
This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Great, it's yours. See you then.
Nathan's tiki-themed bar is swimming in end-of-year party bookings.
Where can I find that many servers? They want headlamps? And I'm gonna need to find a band.
He needs caterers to navigate the rising tide.
No, Mario, not your cousin's cover band.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays with WFHR.halfdeals.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with this week's deal from La Taqueria. Get a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. That's right, a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. La Taqueria, where passion meets flavor, service, and tradition.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeals.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, February 4th. The Southwood County Airport Public Meeting will take place at 8 a.m. in the Airport Terminal Building at Alexander Field. The Wood County Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Highway Department Conference Room in Wisconsin Rapids. In Portage County, the Local Emergency Planning Committee will meet at 8:30 a.m. in the Portage County LEC Training Room in Stevens Point. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet from 10 to noon in person at Biltmore Lane in the Chester Room or virtually via BlueJeans. The Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center Board will meet at 4 p.m. at 1519 Water Street in Stevens Point. The Human Resources Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 41. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 70. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 44. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 46.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Fun time power hour.
What did I say when I thought I got it?
I have no idea.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh,
it's
you know right. What, Jake? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
What do you think got me this job?
What do you think got me? Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Are you lonely? Because if you are, you're not alone.
You're looking right at me.
That is a serious question. Are you of the 50, almost 50% of Americans who are lonely and it's affecting their health? 844-967-2789. And I guess more specifically, if you don't want to just call us and say, oh, yes, I am lonely.
You can text too.
You can text. But also, I guess, what do you do to try to mitigate loneliness? Because part of the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, declaring loneliness as an epidemic is also talking about policy and suggestions on how we can curb loneliness. And so I would love to hear, and the three of us will obviously share tips, life hacks for when we're feeling lonely. But I think it's like, that's a crazy number.
Yeah.
Right? Murthy said that half of U.S. adults experience loneliness and that it can be as dangerous as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. That's wild.
Yeah. I got cancer. What kind? Lonely cancer.
But we've talked about the effects of stress and how bad that is on your blood pressure and your heart. And apparently loneliness has the same kind of effects.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's wild as far as like, how do you measure that? It's just interesting that we've gotten here, but like studies have estimated that the impact of social isolation, like I said, is 15 cigarettes a day, but it can increase the risk of heart disease, dementia, stroke, and premature death. It's also expensive, with social isolation among older adults accounting for $6.7 billion in excess Medicare spending annually.
Oh my God.
That's largely due to increased hospital and nursing facility spending, this advisory notes. That's wild.
Honestly, that makes so much sense. When you talk about, especially when it comes to the older folks, I think about someone like my grandmother who at 80 years old, from her 80s to her when she turned 90, cut herself off from, unless you were coming to her, she was not coming to you. And she lived in a single wide trailer in a trailer park in Stallus. And that 10-year period, just the degradation, thank you, of her health was crazy. Mm-hmm. And she had to have been suffering loneliness, but it was also that thing of she's lonely, but she ain't going to do anything about it. And it just made her, and it was worse.
It was just compounding.
And the last 3 years, the last 2 to 3 years, every time my mom would come home from her house to help her out, she'd be crying.
Oh.
Because it was just like, at one point, we'd be like, this is no longer Ruth. This is a different person. Mm-hmm. We have to take care of her. We can't be taken aback by the things she's doing and saying. Because it was just hard.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it does not surprise me at all that loneliness has its own crushing mental and probably physical effects on your body, too. The way you just, you know, if you just sit in a couch all day long and watch TV by yourself, your body will acclimate to that lifestyle. So, yeah, there's nothing shocking, but what you said, how do you measure it, though?
That's what I think is, like, how are they getting these numbers to attribute that kind of monetary loss to this, and how do they scientifically, medically the linking between those two? I'd be interested to know, like, because is it just a measure of, hey, how lonely are you on a scale of 1 to 5, and then like that measured against your health outcomes? How lonely are you on a
whoa, boy, on a scale of 1 to 5?
Yeah,
I'd say a 2, sometimes 3.
If a 1 is not lonely.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd probably say 2 to 3. Sometimes 4, but like I would say middle. Because I have very, all of my jobs are incredibly
social.
So that fulfills a connection there. But when I was thinking about it just now, that is a forced socialization. It's part of my job. I have to be there. Not saying I don't love it or like it or anything like that. But I'm also the type of person where if I'm not at home, if I'm not at the brewery or the club or a show like that, I'm at home and I'm usually by myself because Bridget works from home. So she's isolated in her office. So there is a lot of isolation and loneliness I do feel because I'm not the type of person who's just like, let's go out for fun. Because I'm like, I live in Kenosha now. That fun is like an hour drive away.
You haven't made friends in Kenosha yet?
God, no. Have you met those people? I'm just kidding. No. I'm just kidding. No, I mean, honestly, like we're looking, honestly, for summertime, we're looking like, all right, cool. It's time for summer. Farmers market, meet people, at least go to a restaurant on a regular basis, that sort of thing. But it, once again, my schedule does not lend itself to the greatest nightlife. Because like, hey, who wants to go out on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Bunzo.
Because you're working on weekends.
Exactly. My job. And when I'm home, I'm resting. I'm relaxing. I'm trying to, but I also have other responsibilities outside of those two things. So it's almost like being like loneliness as an adult is kind of, there's a correlations like how active are you as a person outside your job?
Mm-hmm. And how active, how much time do you have to be active outside your job?
Yeah. And it also costs money. Sometimes too.
He's like, well, if we're going to be social, we're going to go out to eat.
Yeah.
We're going to get drinks. We're going to go to a show. We're going to do something that spends money to do so. So we're talking about, we're asking, are you lonely? And if so, how do you mitigate it? How do you try to get some social interaction to make yourself feel better? Because you're not alone. The Surgeon General, the U.S. Surgeon General just declared loneliness, a U.S. epidemic. And 844-967-2789. Are you lonely?
And also,
we'd love to talk to you if you are.
844-96 party of one. Gosh. Kristen, how lonely are you?
I would say a 2.
Okay.
I think, and because the job thing resonates with me as far as feeling like when we get outside of this, you know, the show every day, a lot of my weekends I spend working.
Yeah.
Like I spend on catching up and reading or thinking, like doing the work that kind of is harder to do day to day because we're just prepping for the next day's show versus thinking like bigger projects and strategic, like strategy stuff. Like this weekend I'm writing a speech because I'm emceeing the Out of Gamey Dems event that they're having on Monday. And so it's like, I don't have time to work on that this week. So I'm working on it this weekend. And I've found, and don't get me wrong, I love my job. But I have found since starting this job and the pressure I put on myself to perform in this job, I have much less time to be like build community and have deepened friendships.
Yeah.
Because I'm still new to Milwaukee, right? And I obviously don't feel lonely because I have a great partner and husband. But like the time available to be social and make new friends, deepen the friendships of the people that I have made. And I feel like that's a common part of it is just like when you put so much pressure on your job and you don't always have great boundaries of like, no, part of your balance is actually, even if you feel like you have all this other stuff to do, mm-hmm. is knowing that part of your mental health is to actually be like, it'll get done eventually.
Yeah.
It's fine. Go see your friends.
Yeah.
Instead of carving out the whole weekend to do this project.
That happened to me on Sunday. I went to a baseball game with friend of the show, Dana Ehrman.
Mm-hmm.
My first game of the season. And I've never talked to you about this, but I, for me, my story with baseball goes back a few years. There's a great deal of therapy that I feel in baseball, watching a game, going to a game. And so it was go to the game with Dana. All of a sudden, Ryan Mason, who may or may not be Ron Johnson. I'm just going to put that out there. And so he shows up with his son, Harvey. Harvey is just a little ball of energy that I love. Gives big hugs. Then Gary, my friend Gary, shows up. So, like, we're all in a baseball game together. I'm excited talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just those moments of interaction, making time, as you said, saying to myself, all right, here's the thing. I got to be at the thing. I'm going to go to the thing. Had a blast. And it feels restorative. There is restorative energy to taking that time to put yourself out to friends and spending time with them and having just a good hang. There's good stuff in a good hang.
But I find it interesting too that we can communicate with each other in easier and more instantaneous ways than ever before. Mm-hmm. And yet we are still feeling isolated and alone.
Well, they've been talking about that for a long time now. It's like the more connected we are, the more isolated we are. And yeah, that's the thing. It's like you go on your front, you get to go on your Facebook page. Sorry, the kids' Facebook. Talk to your grandparents about it.
Someone just compared the Facebook to like the mall.
That's fair.
And like how it used to be a cool place to hang. And oh, everyone's like, nah.
Now it's like Southgate. Sorry, Southgate. Yeah, do I have 2,600 friends? No, I do not at all. But somehow I do.
Yeah.
And I got followers, and I got this, and I got that. But sometimes I go home at night, and I feel crushingly alone.
Yeah. Well.
Jane, are you alone?
I think it's normal to feel some loneliness.
Yeah.
But it's not like I live it every day, and I'm consider myself really fortunate to have a core group of friends I've had for a really long time.
You are so well adjusted. I love it.
I take it really well.
Okay, now I'm worried.
No, I just, I have the opportunity that I can reach out to people if I'm feeling lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And if you are feeling lonely, I hope you can too.
Well, if you are feeling lonely, we're going to go through some of the things they've outlined as far as how to combat that. So stick around. We'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll keep talking about loneliness, the epidemic of it, when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
No more sorrow, but that's the chance.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And making the announcement to the world that we're invading Russia with amphibious troops. Come on, Trump. I mean, and I want to hear fine Trumpsters that want to defend that crap. You know, he's a little late for the early bird buffet. Maybe you people were just naive marks who believed he was a super genius.
Then I got some land I'd like to sell you outside of Fukushima.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis.
every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy, fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 36. Southerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly clear tomorrow. Highs level off around 66. Lows level off around 47 tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers. 68 Friday with a chance for scattered rain showers. 65 Saturday. Chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madner. He is Greg Bach. And we're talking about the loneliness epidemic. And it's bad.
So, I'm sorry. It's bad, it's quiet.
Also, like it's leading to other really adverse health outcomes for people of all ages.
It sounds very, I mean, I agree with Greg with what he said about his grandmother, and we kind of experienced that with my own mother. And I just feel like this loneliness epidemic tragically seems to be maybe predominantly among older Americans. I know that this encompasses everyone, but I think that that is a genuine concern for elderly people. My mother was the same way. We got her into a beautiful assisted living facility. She had had some health problems. She had to go there for rehab. We thought, great, she's in this brand new, wonderful place, and she'll be happy there. And, you know, once she recuperates, she'll decide she wants to stay. She was there for 2.5 weeks. She called my brother and said, come and pick me up. And he was like, what was the problem? And she said, they tried to make me do activities.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do activities.
And with my grandmother, it was, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And then it was, well, let's take a look at a place. All right, cool. We'll do some research. 2 weeks later, we're like, here's some places. I don't want to go.
I don't want to go.
Why would you do that? I don't want to go. You trying to get rid of me? I'm trying to help you. And that was an argument. Ugh, another story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
But trying to force them into communal situations doesn't always work.
I think one of the most, I think the common conversation that can happen definitely can be with elderly people. But then when you look at a person who is like married, has a partner, has children, has friends, and they're still saying, I'm lonely.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, the even more, because people aren't talking about that because they don't realize they're lonely. They'll be like, they're like, oh, you know, I do things on my own, but they don't have the information and the ability to look at, because they're, you know, this is a kind of a new thing. I mean, really after COVID, during lockdown, people really realized how lonely we are as functioning adults if you have the ability to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And now it doesn't surprise me at all that the Surgeon General is coming out with this information. I'm just really worried how some people will weaponize it and say like, oh, lazy Americans, now we're lonely. Oh, we're lonely. Go out and toss a ball.
But I do think it's actually a fairly uniquely American thing. I think there's at least compared to certain European countries, I think that there is still more community.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's tied to like what I was saying about job stuff, mm-hmm. or how our suburbs are built, and like that it is like such an like rugged individualism,
yeah,
that's like steeped in our culture as far as versus like relying on one another, that also adds to this. But as far as, you know, it is tied to COVID, but this was a quote from the U.S. Surgeon General. So COVID most recently exacerbated the loneliness that's been building for decades. In the last half century, we've seen the pace of change has dramatically increased. We communicate differently with people in part because of technology. We change jobs more often. We move more often. That has a profound impact on our relationships with one another. And I think that's interesting. So like what Jane said, like you've had the same friends.
For decades.
For decades. Whereas I have moved a lot since I was 16. And like I've collected friends over time and I stay in touch with them via text and call and social media. But like, you know, I've started over so many times that like familiarity and this, I've changed jobs so many times. And so that like years and years of bond gets start over. And like, luckily for me, I make friends pretty easily because I'm not going. Some say
charming.
But those long-term relationships, one of my closest friends lives in Texas. We had only been friends for about 8 months and she moved to Texas in 1992. We are still, I can call her up right now. We'll be right back where we are, but it takes work.
That says a lot about the two of you then and how much your friendship mean to each other.
And you have to call each other and check up on each other. And we would meet and go on vacations together. And it takes some nourishing, those relationships.
Yeah. I think the problem too is, and you know, because I'm sort of in the middle between the two of you. Like I know a lot of people and I would say I'm friends with them and I don't want them to ever think I don't think we're friends, but I do not have deep bonds with anybody going back a certain amount of time. Like there's no, like in my wedding, there was nobody like, man, we've known each other since we were five, you know, like this is good. Me and him were in kindergarten together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and it's always been difficult for me to make friends because I'm not outgoing. I'm more introverted. Like I sound like I can be extroverted, but that's as Jane would say, I put on a good show. I'm much more to myself. So meeting new people, it's very difficult to make a real true bond. I mean, there's tons of people I meet, I talk to on a regular basis. They're cool, but they're not, I'm not calling them to go to a baseball game. I'm not, you know what I mean? So for me, it's very hard because one of the things, Jane, you're talking about as far as keeping those connections is like, I'll say like, oh, I want to call Chris and see how she's doing. Well, she's busy. I don't want to bother her. I'd be bothering if I called her. That's just, and then what happens is that compounds. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, Kristen doesn't call me. And then I feel.
Well, do they care?
Do they care? Why am I caring so much? And maybe we're not the friends I thought we were. Oh, man.
Oh, you're speaking my language.
Spiral,
right now.
Just spiral like a ham. And it's just, ugh, it's terrible. So
you build resentment.
Yeah, and then you see them again, and you're like, oh, hey, how's it going? And you feel bad inside for talking.
Because they're super nice to you, and they're excited to see you.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, they were mean to me in my head.
Yes, oh my God, you're talking. Oh, this exact thing has happened to me so many times.
But that goes back then to what we were talking about just before and at the beginning of the show, which is mental health. Mm-hmm. Addressing those problems, addressing the deeper wound versus like a Band-Aid. You know, calling someone isn't going to alleviate your loneliness. But
that's interesting because one of the things outlined as far as how to mitigate loneliness, which is when people call you, pick up the phone.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And I often will see it and I'm like, do I feel like talking right now?
Yeah.
And it's not that I get a ton of phone calls, but it's like I have a 35-minute commute every day. Like there's no reason I shouldn't be calling someone every day when I drive home, have my AirPods in. And make a reach. And there's something as simple as that of just spending 5 to 10 minutes connecting.
Do you want to connect? We'll do a 5 to 10 minute.
Boop your nose.
Okay. Oh, now you're just getting weird.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. It's time to turn Fridays into Fryays with WFHR.halfdeals.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with this week's deal from La Taqueria. Get a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. That's right, a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. La Taqueria, where passion meets flavor, service, and tradition.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeals.com.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Safe water without PFAS tops the agenda at a workshop in Wausau. Local leaders from towns, cities, villages, and counties across the state gathered at an informational session organized by the DNR, Wisconsin's Green Fire, and other organizations this week. PFAS are increasingly found in drinking water throughout our state, and leaders say getting rid of the contamination will take a big investment. Wausau's water is PFAS-free, but residents are seeing the cost with rising water bills. Wisconsin's Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wants to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion offices at public universities. Voss, telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, if they want to increase their funding, they have to show they can prioritize things to grow the economy, not grow the racial divide. Voss says the offices are a waste of taxpayer dollars. In sports, the Rockies beat the Brewers last night, 3-2. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 41. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 70. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 44. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 46.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. And I thought we'd wrap up the conversation with some of the other suggestions that you can take or leave, but at least that are out there. if you're feeling lonely. And one was minimize distractions. So how often have you caught yourself looking at your phone while someone is speaking to you? I'm really bad at that. What about during meals? Don't ask my husband. Do other people...
Like looking at your phone during meals or just not paying attention during meals?
I think both, okay. Potentially.
Yeah.
Focus on the conversation is the advice. Listening is as important as what we say. While you're at it, scale back on social media.
Mm.
Virtual connection is not a replacement for in-person time. So that's one we just talked about before. When people call... Pick up the phone.
Answer.
Do not send it to voicemail. Sorry, Mom. they basically, that 10 seconds feels so much better than going back and forth on text. One of the other things, I feel like people are sending more voice messages now, which is more personal than, I think, just a text.
Yeah,
you don't like
but,
those?
Well, I mean, I don't mind them, but they definitely don't replace a phone call. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, now you're just hearing their voice saying, hey, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
You know? No, I mean... I've done that when I don't want to feel like text a whole story out. Gotcha. I will tell like a 3-minute story via instead of like a voicemail.
Yeah.
It'll be a voice message.
3 minutes? You are a monster. Jeez.
I don't know if it's three. Well, is it?
Yeah. I still say phone call over everything. I mean, visit over everything if you can, but phone call if you can.
Another suggestion, serve others. Studies show that volunteering can ease feelings of loneliness and broaden our social networks. Consider donating your time to an organization in your community or offering to help your family, coworkers, or friends.
I'm telling you, I was just out at the Waukesha Habitat for Humanity site.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to.
Yesterday. I was out there yesterday.
How'd it go?
It was great. And they have groups that have been doing this for years that come every Tuesday and Thursday. There are some businesses that will organize for their employees to do this as their day of service for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of women out there yesterday. I'm not quite sure where they were from. They were so happy when they were done. And it was cold and windy and rainy yesterday. And I have never seen such a jovial group of women who were all senior citizens. And they had a ball. You could just tell they had a ball.
I was just about to say, when we had, was the executive director of the Waukesha County one or whatever.
I think it was Mark. Brett, yeah.
Yeah, when we had him on the show, I told myself, get down to Kenosha's Habitat, put on your boots, volunteer, help, but also learn.
Yes.
Like, you're going to learn how to do things that I can do at my house and meet people. Mm-hmm. Like. Yeah, I've been thinking about, yes, yes.
Yes.
But even if Habitat isn't your thing, maybe it's the Humane Society, maybe it's Hawes in Waukesha, whatever animal shelter might be nearby you. What is your passion?
Another great group that Bridget used to volunteer for, the USO.
Uh-oh.
What do they do?
They're service to soldiers.
Entertain veterans.
Veterans. But she would go to the airport. Wherever city she was living in, and she would just sit behind a desk and welcome soldiers and give them pamphlets and welcome, you know, it's interacting with the soldiers in a way that's real, you know, I don't know, it's not government, if you will. It's USO. Everyone knows what the USO is. And so,
clearly I don't.
you ever went to a USO dance there, Kristen?
No.
You ever danced the Charlie Hop?
Gosh.
My grandmother used to go to the Eagles Ballroom in Milwaukee. And
also known as the Rave?
No, it's the Eagles Ballroom. It's the upstairs. It's always the Eagles Ballroom. We're not discussing that right now.
Okay.
And she used to go to USO dances all the time when there were big bands that would play there. But yeah, USO is also another great organization.
What is your favorite way to interact with people? What is your charity? How do you get involved? 844-967-2789. That is also 844-96.
Party.
Thank you, Greg Bach.
It's funny you say the Eagles Ballroom, because there's still social clubs. Like, we're members at the Milwaukee Athletic Club. I married into this.
That's about community also and networking,
yeah,
right?
And I would
you also
say,
have, like, Elks and the Rotary, and those are all social groups as well.
Mike's part of, like, the Moose
yeah.
something now
yeah.
In Muskego. But I feel like that was a bigger staple than it used
back
to be.
In the day.
Yes, yeah.
As far as, and, like, don't get me wrong, but, like, Milwaukee Athletic Club now is like, there's a restaurant, there's bars and stuff like that, but it's like it's a gym too. So it's like, and it's nice. I mean, some, when you go, when I do make it to the gym, you know, you run into people, you have small talk, you say hi. It's nice to go to a place where you know you're going to know people. But I feel like when you think about Eagles Ballroom, when you think about all of the different social clubs that used to, or country clubs or whatever, but yeah, the Elks, it used to be a much bigger, like I would say you throw a stone of people, millennial and Gen Z or Gen X.
Yeah.
What do you think? Less than 50% belong to one of those clubs?
Oh God. Even, you know, I would say, less than that. I'd probably say 25%, because even growing up, your grandpa was in the Elks Lounge, mm-hmm. Or something like, you know, even the Masons, which I almost got recruited into. But yeah, I would say that number has gone way down. But what the question is, what have we replaced that with? And I would say social media. We think that, once again, that's community. And it's not live community. It's...
Or just like going to bars with your friends?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, as I get older, though, I think about it. And I think about these social groups, these community-based groups. They make a lot of sense to me. And they're cool. And, you know, maybe you'll check one out. Maybe I'll wear a funny hat and drive on a little motorcycle down the street and throw candy at kids at a parade. Oh, my God. My life has changed, Kristen and Jane.
But one of the things that I think is so great about organizations like Habitat is that there is a tangible accomplishment that you can point to and say, I helped do this.
Yep.
And you can be there when the family moves in and mm-hmm. see the joy and experience that. And I think it's so good for you. It's just good for you all the way around, mentally, physically, everything.
How do you get your social interaction these days? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Talking about ways that people mitigate loneliness. And I like the Habitat one, because I especially like that, like being a goal-oriented person mm-hmm. and being able to look in it, and like, if you live in the community, you're like, I helped build that house.
And it was so neat when I was out there yesterday and Brett stopped by. I was talking to Connie, who's the project manager, and they were telling me how people in the neighborhood are so excited about this that they will drive by and beep and wave and, you know, just all kinds of positive reinforcements. And it's good for all of us. It's good for the community.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think of other ways, even for myself.
But there are... You know, we've talked to Get Out the Vote organizers. We've talked to all kinds of groups that people can get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken that first step and identifying what it is that you're passionate. What do you care about?
Yeah. Yeah.
What fires you up?
Yeah. And I think that
festivals,
because a lot of times when we've talked to people who do the canvassing, the door to door stuff, which sounds intimidating, I think, to many people who've never done it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, oh, the actual, it leads to conversation. Yes, it sometimes leads to...
Door slams. Threatens.
But
guns. What?
It also can lead to really fulfilling conversations and connection.
Yeah. I mean, that's volunteer for a campaign. I mean, especially volunteer for the... Find out who your alderman is. If you like your alderman, tell them, hey, when you are up for re-election, I'd love to help you out. And you're going to meet your community. You're going to knock on doors and talk to people you're passionate about, a person you're passionate about. That's a great thing, you know. It's that first step, though, as Jane says. The first step, get on your computer, type in whatever floats your boat. Even from like you were talking about the young lady who is on TikTok who knits to help with these... Maybe it's a knitting circle. Maybe it's, you know, maybe start there on social media and see those things and then find where those groups are in your community. Because they exist everywhere. Yeah, exactly. They exist everywhere.
Have you ever been a part of a movie club?
No, because eventually they would get to a horror movie and that's where I'd tap out because I'm a big baby.
I'm so with you.
Yeah, I just, I would love to be, a cinephile. But I'm also just like, hey, you want to watch The Godfather for the 400th time?
Is awesome. That your favorite movie?
I wouldn't say it's up there. It's definitely up there. I love that film. I love the sequel. The third one's okay. He didn't make it better with the recut. It's worse. But I love movies. I really do. And
Because I feel like my, I am not a, I don't read as much as I should. I read a lot of news.
Yeah.
But I feel like I always don't, when there's talk of a book club, I'm like, I know I'm going to be the jerk who never reads the book.
Well, and it's then if it becomes homework, then it's no fun.
Well, and there's a balance to it. Because I think that there's something as far as the accountability of some, whether it's if you're on a committee, if it's Habitat, you've signed up for a volunteer shift. Like there's something about once you've signed up and you've given your commitment that you're going to show up or you're going to do this thing, it becomes a lot easier than like your social plans of canceling dinner. Cause all of a sudden that thing, that part of your brain that's like, oh, like just sitting at home in my pajamas, watching Netflix, drinking wine sounds like a lot nicer tonight. And it's really easy to do that.
Yes,
but sometimes if you have any kind of people pleasing guilt part of your brain, like I do, you're like, well, I don't want to be the jerk.
I said I would be there.
I said I would be there. I said I would do this thing. And then you're so happy that you went.
Yep. There's that great Mulaney joke, though, as adults where you like are getting ready to go out and they're like called to cancel plans. They're like, that's an amazing, it's like heroin. You're like, they canceled. We don't have to go out.
But why is that? Like we're saying right now, we're lonely.
Yeah.
We're saying that it is an epidemic. We're saying that we need more social connection. And yet some part of us, introverted or not, has this feeling that we make social plans with the best of intentions and then all of a sudden we get to the day of and we just want to stay home and chill.
Yeah.
And so what is that? Is it because we're all just exhausted and burned out and just it seems like too much work?
It could be a thing of like, I don't want to get ready. For some people, that process may take longer than others. Spending money, I mean, or, you know, it could be, you know, we all have been there where you're like, oh, we're going out with our friends. And you're like, I don't like these people. Or like the couples, like you're like they're boring.
Which is why you drink.
He's gonna talk about he's gonna talk about finance all the time. I don't care about Bitcoin, Brandon. So I mean, I think in the moment, but that thing is like, as it is a joke, of course. Those things, like the aggregate of it all, like, you know, over time it compounds, you know, that one time it's great, but then after a while you'd be like, all right, now we got to get off our butts and go out and have fun and high five and play skee ball. And
we're also very contradictory beings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are.
Oh yeah.
I was just going to suggest people can do open mic nights.
Oh,
that could be.
Oh my God.
An improv group.
Okay. Let's say stop it there.
Just, open mic nights. Do you feel like there's community there for the people who show up on Wednesdays?
Absolutely. Okay. Oh my gosh. Yes. We could talk about that more in the next segment, but still, yes, there is tons of community in the open mic scene. For better, for worse, there can be toxicity, but there's a lot of support. There's a lot of great stuff there. Helping people out, laughing at jokes and telling people, you know, like you're funny, being there because being a comedian is incredibly lonely.
Yeah.
It's incredibly like you're putting yourself out there. I mean, you could be telling a joke that people have heard 1,000 times, take my wife, please, but there's still a nugget of truth in there that you're putting yourself out there. And if people don't laugh at it,
yeah,
that hurts.
Well, that's why I did throw out improv because improv is teamwork. And it may not, you may look down on it, but taking improv classes is fun.
No, I mean, that's where I started in comedy too. Everyone starts somewhere. You start at the bottom, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I don't have that kind of hatred for improv. I'm not that stand-up.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This weekend, this is As Goes Wisconsin.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the 6th season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on enjoymtpleasant.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 36. South winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly clear tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 66. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 47. Overcast skies. Upper 60s Friday, mid-60s by Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
I was walking down the high street when I heard footsteps behind me, and there was a little old man in scarlet and gray chuckling away. Well, he trotted back to my house, and he sat beside the telly with his tiny hands on his tummy, chuckling away, laughing all day.
Oh my God.
I want to make Kristen guess.
I have no
idea. You have no idea who that is?
I have no idea.
Can I tell her, Jane?
You may tell her.
That's David Bowie, and I'm not lying.
Oh, now I hear it.
Yeah.
The Laughing Gnome.
One of his earlier, I don't want to say hits. I'm not giving that song that designation.
I think it's from like 1969.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I think off his first or second record. But when Bowie started out, he was very much of the hip psychedelic British scene, which was all about writing ridiculous songs. And
ridiculous lyrics.
And having the most British voice in your singing. I'm a British person going down a road. There's a leprechaun.
I just thought it was, I've never heard David Bowie sing hands on his tummy.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
If you listen to the first Pink Floyd record, it's all like that. Like, I've got a bike and I'm just gonna, it's just ridiculously British. Almost offensively.
Is there a music video for that?
God, I hope so.
I would hope that there's some kind of ridiculous...
What's it? It's called The Laughing Gnome?
If it wasn't the original, I have to imagine that someone in their endless creativity of the internet has come up with a psychedelic, crazy, gnome-filled music video for this song.
Not the one that I found, but yeah. I'm sure you can Google for it and see if there's a Laughing Gnome video.
I mean,
from David Bowie.
Just look up David Bowie 1969. He's an adorable man.
Or adorable.
He's an adorable boy. Okay, so what's going on now?
So the reason why Jane played that song is because we're talking about the Laughing Tap and who's going to be there this weekend, Greg Bach.
This weekend, returning to the Laughing Tap is one John Caparulo. He came here last year, did 5 shows. Wonderful gentleman, very, very funny. Was on Chelsea lately. Has been on CMT, HBO, all the stuff. He's just so funny. And Jane, we got a clip?
We do have a clip. Take a listen.
We went to one of those haunted houses, you know, where they dress up a barn with strobe lights and pay like $10 your pants. It's, I hate those places. And it's not, I'm not scared of the make-believe, the ghosts and goblin shit. I'm a grown-up, all right? I'm afraid of the people who work there. I am. How bad is your life going that you signed up to be the f***ing werewolf for a month, you know? Because I don't... I, in my head, I don't really think that guy's the werewolf, but I don't think he thinks he's not the werewolf. They get way too into their job, man. Settle down, all right? Just scare the kids. I'm a dude.
Scare the kids. I'm a dude. That's Mr. John Caparulo, one of his less cussy.
One of his less cussy.
Yeah, he's very cussy.
Only five edits.
Yeah. So he's coming to town. Tickets are on sale. LaughingTap.com. All five shows Thursday, two on Friday, two on Sunday. If you want to come Sunday, if you want to come Saturday or Friday early, those tickets are selling faster. But hey, come out to any of the shows. Mm-hmm. Have some fun. Enjoy a drink. No drink minimums. $20 a ticket.
Can't beat it. You cannot beat that.
Come on, people.
Come on. And then make sure that to say hi, go up to Greg Bach and say
yeah.
hi.
Yeah.
Oh, and tell them that you love their show.
Good Lord. Let me just say thank you. I have so much gratitude for the fans of this show, the As Goes Wisconsinites. And coming to the Laughing Tap, introducing themselves to me, and giving me gifts of stickers, or just giving me wonderful, deeply gracious compliments about the show and the work the two of you do. And just, yeah, it's thank you so much. Keep coming to shows. I love seeing you there. I'd love to high five you if you're comfortable. Well, let's start with a high five. but no, it's great. And I've loved the fact that this show has provided us with new fans. But I have other news. I'm sorry.
More news.
Not just John Caparulo for five shows at the Laughing Tap, laughingtap.com. But we've made some announcements with the Milwaukee Comedy Festival Ooh. This year. I know. Hold on to your butts.
Because cigarette dangling out of your mouth.
Hold on to
Samuel L. Jackson.
I don't know why I do Chief Wiggums when I do a Samuel L. Jackson. Probably just remain less problematic. So Milwaukee Comedy Festival, our 18th year coming up October 1st through the 8th. I know. Get out of my house. Pay your taxes. October the 1st through the 8th is when we're doing it. We just announced two headliners. First, on the 5th of October, that is going to be that Thursday, we are going to have Mr. Todd Barry returning to Shank Hall for that Thursday show on the 5th. He'll be coming to town as one of our headliners. This is the second time he's worked with us at the festival. The third or fourth time we've worked with him, but he's back. Tickets are available, mkecomedyfest.com. But also on Saturday, the 7th, I got goosebumps to announce at the Pabst Theater.
That's an extension.
That is, yes, Mr. Kyle Kinane.
Ooh.
I'm not, both of you, this is true. He's top five for me, period. As far as comedians I love, comedians I want to work with. Top five. He will be headlining the Pabst Theater on the 7th of October. Tickets are available tomorrow pre-sale at Pabst Theater website. The password is the word May, M-A-Y. It's got to be May. And then the regular tickets go on sale Friday, but get your tickets. This will be a great show.
Is this the first time you guys have extended it to the Pabst?
Yes. So okay. We've worked with the Pabst group in the past, and we've utilized the Turner Hall Ballroom.
Okay.
But this time, it just worked out, and they gave us the Pabst, and we want to make this a big thing, and Kyle is a next level comedian for us. And you know, loose in Chicago, I can say that verbatim almost. This is a big deal for us.
That's awesome.
We're so excited. And if you haven't listened to Kyle Kinane stuff, or Todd Barry, or John Caparulo, all three of them, but for me, Kyle Kinane is like that. Is it?
How would you describe for someone who doesn't know his comedy? How would you describe his comedy?
Kyle's,
yes,
very smart, observational, wrapped that you'd have to go to a mobile home to get.
All right, I like that description.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, over the next couple weeks, we'll get clips of them. Yeah, get some clips.
All right, well, that show just flew by. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show. And
thank
listening.
You for being a friend.
And that. Come back tomorrow when we're.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemiss.org for more.
A public service message
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio.